is speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. So we're hearing a song by Mr. Paul Simon entitled Under African Skies.
Joseph's face was black as night, the pale yellow moon shone in his eyes. His path was marked by the stars in the southern hemisphere, and he walked his days under African skies. This is the story of how we begin to remember.
And I wanted to start the hour out with that song because in roughly 10 minutes, we're going to be hearing from Mr. Justin Hall. Mr. Justin Hall will be featured on the National Geographic series Explorer, which is going to be taking us on an exploration, if you will, of the Virunga National Park. Biologically diverse, resource rich, and endangered. I want you to stay with me so that you can hear what this is about. Where do you suppose the danger is coming from, by the way? Let me give you another clue, or one of the clues again, and that is resource rich. Where is the danger coming from? Justin Hall will be with me at approximately 1:15 this afternoon. And so I just want to let you know in advance that your loyal producer will be letting you know when I'll be taking you back to the song as Justin and I get connected. And like I said, roughly 10 minutes. So be on the listen out, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you all, by the way, for caring about the various issues that affect how humans and all other creatures on Earth live, the good that comes to us, the challenges that we face. I appreciate you for caring, whether we're talking about what's happening right here in the U.S. of A, or whether we're talking about what is happening in Japan, as we take a look at, for instance, just one instance, the little boy who was left in the woods as disciplined for having thrown stones, or we talk about how one of the things you'll hear coming up soon, one of the countries of the world that is considered to be one of the friendliest of the world. We have that coming up. Or whether we're talking about business propositions, business prospects from any number of countries of the world. Appreciate you so much for caring enough that you're listening and you're really, really giving some thought to the question of what can be done. All right. And again, roughly 1:15, I'll be connecting us with Justin Hall. All right. In the meantime, I want to share some info with you, courtesy of Metro Courier. Takes us back to a conversation that I had a few months ago when I was talking about the fact that one of the very, very unfortunate, to put it mildly, circumstances of America the Beautiful is that we do have a lot of abuse. We have a lot of abuse. We have abuse in homes. We have abuse that's taking place outside of homes and in so many different ways we have abuse taking place. One of the things that I talked about specifically was how not only was there the concern, the worry, the frustration, the anger, the sadness regarding the abuse that black men have been experiencing at the hands of the worst that can be found amongst law enforcement officers, but I pointed out that we are also seeing that black women are under attack. I want to share with you some more about that And a lot of this having to do with the deaths of some black women, women in general, but black women in particular. And I'm not talking about drive-bys, which matter. I'm talking now about some of the things that have been going on with regards to law enforcement, or so-called law enforcement. We've been reading about Sandra Bland, 28-year-old Sandra Bland, who died while incarcerated. And the story that we were all given is that she committed suicide. Okay. She committed suicide. That was questionable from the very beginning. And as her family fortunately made it known, they don't believe that. They don't believe Sandra Bland committed suicide. She died July 2015. I want to give you a list of more women who died July 15th while in police custody. Kendra Chapman, 18 years old, was arrested in Alabama after allegedly stealing a cell phone. She was found dead less than 2 hours after being placed in a cell. Her death was ruled a suicide. On July 17th, Alexis McGovern died while in custody at the St. Louis City Justice Center. The officials say that the woman experienced a quote-unquote medical emergency shortly before her scheduled release and was taken to the medical infirmary. Ms. McGovern was later pronounced dead. Though she was not black, her death has been memorialized by local activists concerned with treatment and safety in jails and prisons. And that's one of the things that I want to reiterate. It is so critical that we all care about all of us. This is part of the reason I wanted to share this article with you, too. For my part, I'm telling you, I'm with the people who decided to make Alexis McGovern's case part of this story. Because even though Alexis McGovern is not black, was not black, she's human, and she matters too. Thank you all so much for including that. Joyce Cornell, 50 years old, died July 22nd. She was arrested for shoplifting in South Carolina and was detained in a Charleston County jail. She'd been taken to a hospital for a medical issue. Another person arrested and has a medical issue. She was taken to that hospital before being transported to the jail. The next day, she was found dead. Rakina Jones, 37 years old, died July 26 of 2015. That Friday, the Cleveland, Ohio mother was arrested following a domestic dispute with her husband. On Saturday, she was reportedly treated for, here we go again, several medical issues in the hospital. Hospital attendants evaluated and released Jones that same night, but by 7:30 a.m. the next day, she was found dead in her cell. Raynette Turner, 43 years old, died while in police custody on July 27th of 2015. She was found dead in her holding cell while waiting to be arraigned for shoplifting. You notice how few of these have anything to do with violence on the part of the woman who had been arrested and then was found dead? The day before, Turner reportedly complained about not feeling well and was taken to a medical center, but was later returned to her cell. When she died, she left behind 8 children and a husband of 23 years, taken to jail for shoplifting. There are efforts to track incidents of police brutality against black women, though an exact figure is yet to be determined. I shared with you all some months ago not only the incident of the Oklahoma City officer, former Oklahoma City officer, who was convicted of raping and sexually assaulting 8 black women while on duty though he was accused by 13 different women, but also shared with you the incident that had been caught on camera of the law enforcement officer. I think he was a state trooper who apprehended a black woman who had been very, very dangerously walking out in traffic and really could have set herself up for much harm. But what the camera showed was this officer, this law enforcement officer in uniform, straddling the woman, sitting in her chest, and literally beating her in the face, had her on the ground, and was beating her with his fist in her face. We have a lot of bad stuff going on, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of bad stuff going on. Hopefully, there'll be a whole lot of people who will look at this and say, you know what? I'm not going to ignore this or dismiss it simply because it's not happening to members of my race, or for anyone to conclude, well, even though it may be happening to members of my race too, it's not nearly as bad for us as it is for them, and so I'm going to consider this acceptable and tolerable. No. Never good, never good, never good. As I've said before, you own a car, you park it, while you're gone, someone breaks your window, reaches in and steals something out of your car. Your car's window is no more or less broken, and the item or items that were stolen are no less stolen just because a member of one race rather than a member of another race is the one responsible for the theft and the damage. I'll be right back.
Was ringing.